that everybody was telling. Okay. Psalms 107, verse 10. Those who sat in darkness, let me move this over, there we go. Those who sat in darkness and the shades of death, the shadow of death, one word says shadow, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that the men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, your voice. In spite of the mouthpiece of flesh that I am, God, speak to us, oh God. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to talk for just a second about something. Okay. There's nothing wrong with me if it's a little leaning to the left or leaning to the right. Don't worry about that. Anyway, so this is Sunday school. And if we weren't live, it would be more of an interaction where, you know, we bring things up. But what I would encourage you to do is to get a pencil and paper. I'd encourage you strongly to get a pencil and paper. And when something comes up and you say, what? That don't sound right. Write your question down. And then this afternoon sometime or whatever, send me an email, send me a whatever, you know, let your people fax my people, you know, I'm just kidding. But do that or send it to me on private messenger or whatever. And let's start this study of the word, okay? And what happens is if we don't do it like that, what happens is someone has an idea or someone has a question, I get on that question, and before long, we're talking about the sale they had at Renegade Harley-Davidson. You know, I mean, it just didn't take long for me, my brain to go this way. So that's not your problem, okay? But God does what God wants to do with who he wants to do it with. Have you noticed that? Yeah, he's not looking for the shiny vase. He's looking for the willing vase. He cleans the inside, puts himself in it, and then we pour ourselves out, and hopefully there's not too much pollutants on the way with it, okay? So we're again in 107, Psalms 107, verse 10. Those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. Guys, I want to tell you, the first point this morning is not very complicated. Now that I'm like 36 years old, you know, I've seen a lot in this world, okay? You say, how'd you get this good looking in 36 years? Well, it's easy for me, but anyway, but the point being is this. I was growing up in South Arkansas. Both my parents were ministers. My uncle was a minister. Everybody's preaching. Everybody's digging in the word. Then they have people. Back in those days, nobody stayed in motels, okay? You stayed in somebody's house. So because we didn't have the money, okay? So when all the preachers came to preach at those churches, they stayed with us for weeks. And all of those conversations at the table and all of those, and I'm sitting there, you know, eating 5 or 6 biscuits while they're talking, by the way. Kathleen, one time, I was on my 5th roll, and she kicked me on the table, and I didn't know why she was kicking me. She kicked me and go, what? She said, it's your 5th roll. That's not enough rolls for everybody. You're going to finish them all off. But anyway, evidently, I liked carbohydrates as a child. But anyway, but the point being is this. Listening to those men and women of God and gleaning. So this was the first lesson that I learned, what I'm going to tell you this morning, my first point. The first lesson that I learned. And it's in the Bible. over and over and over, and it's one of those pillars that, if you're not careful, becomes the entire gospel, because it's not the entire gospel, but it's a pillar of life and of spirituality. And this is the, are you ready for this? The wages of sin is, okay. So what's happened here is this. Those who sat in darkness in the shadows of death, bound in affliction of iron, affliction and irons, because they rebelled. Now here's the deal. I'm not talking about legalism. I am not talking about legalism. I'm not going to tell you this morning, you shouldn't have. This is your problem. This is your problem. No, our problem is that we are not close enough to Yeshua, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the light, okay, the light, the way, the truth, right? And what happens, the closer I get to him, the less important all this other stuff is. Does that make sense? And it's amazing to me that the three Hebrew children were bound. They were tied up. They were tied up tight. And the people that threw them into the fire were killed because they were that close to the fire. And they're thrown in there. And guess what happens? They're set free. Think about it. They live, which is important. That's, you know. But the point is this. They, when the king looks back in there, they said, didn't we throw three in? There's four in there. One looks like the Son of God. And they're walking around free. The fire of God will affect your bonds, is what I'm trying to say. Even the fire of adversity in this life. God will use all kind of things to set you free. And I want to tell you something. Do you want to be free this morning? I want to be free. You see this right here where it says these words here? That they are bound in affliction and irons. And guys, I want to tell you, I want to be free. Now, is it Nicholson? Jack Nicholson? No, wait, no. Who, Easy Rider, who was the guy? Let's see, we got Jack. Who? No. No, it's Jack Nicholson. Is it Jack? Yeah, it is Jack. I can see him. I'm thinking of him in this scene, in this movie. The guy says, these bikers are coming up, and they say, well, what do you want? He said, we want to be left alone by the man, and we want to party. Okay, so he thought he wanted to be free. Okay, but I want to tell you, the freedom that I was talking about today is not the freedom to be debaucherous. What it is the freedom to live your life unchained, unbound. You see what I'm saying? Without the cares of this life. Oh, what's going to happen in the next election? Oh, what's going to happen if this happens? What's going to happen if so-and-so? No, I don't have to worry about that. And do I try to be a good citizen? Do I, try to be a good man? Yes, very hard. Sometimes I'm better at it than others. But the bottom line is, he has set me free. And the way I got bound, though, here's the point. This is the first point. It really is. Because they rebelled against the word of God. And here's the deal. John 1:1. If you want to look it up, you can. And the word became, all right. The word became flesh. The law is a picture of our inability to do this thing right. There was not one person from Adam through Moses all the way to the days of Jesus, not one person that did it perfectly. They had to have sacrifice. They had to have a blood sacrifice. Not one person. And that law is a picture, Paul talks about it, it's a picture of our inability to keep our cheese on the cracker. Now that's not in the Bible, okay? That's a picture. But some of us have more trouble keeping our cheese on our cracker than others, okay? But we got people volunteering for that, raising their hands. But it's according to what kind of cheese it is, whether how much attention I'm paying to it. But anyway, But the point, Cheese Whiz, yeah, you can turn it upside down. A well-known cheese product. Okay. It's not cheese, but it's a product. And it is real. I mean, it's, you know, it's got some of the same elements as gasoline, I think. But anyway, but the point being is this. The bottom line is this, guys. The wages of sin is death. From Adam to then, we failed and came short of the glory of God, didn't we? Okay. But as he says this, they rebelled against the words of God. This is David talking, the psalm and psalms, and he has seen it. He's seen people who did not follow the law, who did not get sacrificed for their sins, who went their own ways, and it bound them. Does it bind us? Does it bind us in sexual sin? Does it bind us in drugs? Does it bind us in financial sin? And I've seen it my whole life, guys, because this was my plan. I had a great plan, the Bruce's Easy Church, okay? And what I was going to do, I was going to bring people in. I was going to pray for them. The power of God was going to hit them. They were going to fall down. They're going to be perfect after that. Their life would be perfect. I like that plan. It's very quick. It's easy. You know what I mean? Takes about 20 minutes, you know? I mean, what, you know, of course I had to take up three offers beforehand to buy my plane to fly back and forth to Blue Eye for the hillbilly ministry. But anyway, but the point is this, guys. That's not the way it works. The way it works, and I'm not saying that the power of God's not real. I'm not saying people don't fall down. What I am saying is this, is I have watched people, now that I'm almost 36, I've watched people my whole life who loved God, who served God, who were great speakers, who all that stuff. But if they had one area of their life that they allowed, that they went against the word of God in, one area, let's say it's their finances. Let's say it's their health. Let's say it's the way they eat. Let's say it's the way they take care of themselves, like whether they worry all the time, whatever. It affects them, doesn't it?
Yes.
And here's the deal. Are any of us perfect? And some of us are not even very good. Okay, I'm serious. But, some days. But here's the deal. Since they rebelled against the word of God, but then the second part is, and despised the counsel of the Most High. Now, I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is real. He is part of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit desires to whisper to you. Just think of it this way. It's the Holy Spirit of God. We never say it like that. We just say Holy Spirit. Okay? Like Jesus was flesh. We're going to get into that later on because we're in Matthew. But Jesus was flesh. Okay? And because he got up one morning and said, I'm hungry. Yeah, we're going to get to that in an hour or so. But the point being is, then you have God the Father who is in heaven. Because remember, when he got baptized, there was a voice from heaven saying, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. You remember that part? Okay. So you got God, speaking, the Father, our Father who art in heaven, right? He's up there. He's large and in charge. Okay. And then you've got Jesus who is in the flesh, who now is at the right hand of the Father. You say, how is this? What? Okay. And he's making intercession for you and good for you. Okay. If you're one of his, he's saying, okay, now, you know, Bruce is a mess, but Dad. Okay. He's doing that. Okay. And then while he's getting baptized, he raises up. Then the Holy Spirit appears as a dove. When that happens. So you've got all three of them in the same verse, essentially. So I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is alive and well. On the day of Pentecost, he kick-started the church. They were waiting, and they put the jumper cables on the church, and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the church. It's still alive today. The Holy Spirit is still working today. And some of you say, well, you know, after all the apostles died, you know, hey, I love the apostles. They suffered. Most of them were martyrs. They died for what they believed in. They've written and left us so much great stuff, okay? But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit didn't say, well, you know, that's all I needed. No, you need help at Porter's to do the right thing. You need help at your house to do the right thing. You need help at work to do the right thing. And the Holy Spirit is there for us. And that's what this whisper is I'm talking about, this counsel. Verse 11, and despise the counsel of the Most High. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you through your word, through his word. He wants to talk to you through circumstances, because circumstances drive me where? To the word. You know what drives me to my knees? Being outside these doors. When somebody says, I need some help with this, I need some help with this, I'm like, I don't know what to do. What do? I pray. I seek God, and the Bible says that he will bring to us the remembrance of the word. But you know what? If I'd never seen you before, he could not bring back remembrance of me who you are. Okay, but I seen you, so I remember. So you got to see this word. He says, study to show yourself approved. So get in the word of God. And therefore now look at this verse 12, because people don't like this. And if you don't like this, I'm sorry. So in the cartoon world that I grew up in, okay, we had a conversation about that earlier today. My mom took me to the doctor when I was like 5 because I was doing some stuff like whoop, 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 you know, like that, and, you know. And she said, what's wrong with him? And the doctor said, well, what's he watching on TV? I said, well, you know, the Three Stooges, a Little Rascals, you know, cartoons. And I was just acting out what I seen. You know, great green gobs of gobble up, go for guts, mutilated monkey, baby, dirty birdies, little feet, French fried eyeballs, dressed in puppy, blood, beat out my spoon, so I used to straw. I remember that from 1964. But, you know, and the Muslim philosophy of 357. Okay, anyway, what's this? So, watch what it says right here. And he, verse 12. Therefore, he is God. But in the previous thing he said, against the words of God, therefore he. And in the cartoon world, you got the devil over here on his shoulder. You got the angel over here on his shoulder. And both of them are talking to you. And that's not a horrible picture, okay? But I want to tell you something. God is in charge. And he will allow whatever your theology will allow you to believe, okay? Just pick you out some of it, okay? But here's the deal, because some of us, I've talked to people who said, there ain't no way that no good God would allow that to do. I said, well, read the book of Job. That'll be a good start. Okay, that'd be one picture. Read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Judges. Well, that's the old covenant. It is absolutely the old covenant, but it's the same God. Amen. Okay? My relationship may be different with some people than it is with others, but I'm the same person, aren't I? Okay, so my nature is the same, which is, we'll leave that alone. But watch this. He brought down their heart with labor. God will allow us to go through things. He will put us in places so that we call out to him, because he knows what's really important. Did you know that? I always think, marketplace is important. Facebook Marketplace, 1944, black, it's got that grill, just reasonable price, I'm sure with that and everything I own, I could keep it running probably for another year. But the point being, I think that's important. But God says, no, that's not what's important. What's important is what I put you here to do. Does that make sense? And here's the deal. He allows, he guides us, he puts us in places for things to come forward. And he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was no one to help. Verse 13. And then they cried out. I'm going to tell you something. Does it matter what you say? This is what, the 16th week in a row I've asked the same question. Does it matter what you say? Yeah. Shut your mouth. If you're not saying good things, open your mouth and proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I told you that I've got scriptures that every day I read out loud and proclaim over my life, my family's life, and you go, oh, that's name it and claim it. No, that's the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. This ain't about me having a bigger Cadillac than you got. Okay? I mean, that's not what it's about. It's about people that I love and care for becoming what God has called them to be, and us spending eternity with Him in the wedding feast. By the way, we'll get to that later. I'm dying to get into that. Just dying to get into that. I really am. And He saved, they cried out in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. There is one of my favorite words. It's one of my favorite words. Saved. Okay, so you go, why is that one of your favorite words? I'm going to tell you something. Just think of it this way. You're on third base. Anybody in here ever play ball or softball or sandlot ball or any kind of ball or whatever? Okay, you're on third base. And the pitcher throws it back. Excuse me. The catcher throws it back to the pitcher and he misses. And the ball begins to roll out through there. Or they're throwing it to somebody running to second base and they throw it to second base. And he misses. The guy, you're on third base and you start running because you want to make that point. You want to get home. There's another word that I love, home. That's a word that's affiliated with this church. Is we're here to give you hope. We're here to give you help and then give you a home. And it don't have to be geographically here, but guess what? We're all going home someday, okay? And it's going to be good. So, but what's this? The bottom line is you're running, and all of a sudden you slide into home base and the umpire says what?
Safe.
And guess what? There's nobody or nothing that can take that away from you. The guy out there at third base says, I ain't fair. So what? It didn't look like to me he was good enough to be safe. So what? The umpire says, safe. People that says like, that didn't look safe to me. I don't like anything. I don't think he even has a batting helmet on. And I don't like their uniforms. Their uniforms got, they put that ugly stripe, you know. It's none of their business. Who's in charge of that game? The umpire. That's why I like the word saved. Because when you're a son, you understand what it's like to have a dad. They fell down and there was none there to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. I'm going to tell you something. In this life that I've lived, I'm going to tell you, I have been bound by a bunch of stuff through the years. Okay? Fear. Out. There's back. Okay. If you missed that, I was doing a little dance. Okay. Fear. Doubt. Shame. Religion. I mean, I'm running out of words, but I got a bunch more. But anyway, but you see the point. I've been bound by those things. Those things, did you know, if you're tied to a chain, I mean, anybody ever had a dog or maybe a pet ostrich or something on a chain? Yeah. Ostriches, any ostriches in the room? Okay, good. No, not ostrich, that's peacocks. Oh, they're loud, okay. Got pretty feathers though. But the bottom line is this, they don't go past the end of that chain, do they? And the chains of this life, doubt, fear, shame, religion, all those things will keep you from going to where you need to be. You cannot be free and be tied to those things. Is that right? Yes. And He set me free. Once like a bird, in prison I dwelt. No freedom from, yeah, I'm getting the words off, sorrow I felt, but Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. And I'm free. And if I'm not careful, the cares of this life. We'll put that chain back on me, won't it? Caring what people think about me, put me back in chains, okay? Fear, doubt, shame, and broke their chains in pieces. Now, I like that part of this verse 14. If you break a chain in pieces, you can't be put back in it. I'll give you an example. If they unleash the, if I let the dog off the leash, I don't really have a, well, I got a leash I walk him on. So if I let him off of that, I can always put him back on it, can't I? But if I took that, took cutters and cut that thing in little bitty pieces, I wouldn't be able to put that back on him, right?
That's right.
He broke the chains, okay? And he did that by his love, grace, mercy, and because the Bible says, call on me and I will answer. Broke their chains in pieces, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And I want to tell you, sometimes I forget this pretty quickly. And this is the last point. Salvation is a message for you this morning. It's a message for you. It's a message for us. It's a message. It's reality. Okay? That's absolutely the truth. But you realize that this whole thing, humankind, heavens and earth, all are to bring glory to God. That's the purpose. It's, and I know I'm pretty important, but I'm not the center of the universe, no matter what I think as a only child for the first 8 years of my life, 8.5 years of my life. That's what psychologists tell you. You'll always be an only child. It'll always be about you, you know everything rotates. But the bottom line is this, it's all about him. And I want to tell you something. This is part of the same point. It doesn't matter when I say I'm about done, okay? I have divine forgiveness. Anyway, but what's this? It would be really something that, let's say that next week they have a school board meeting and they say, you know what? Bruce is obviously a genius. Okay. And we, why is that funny? That is, okay.
That they finally came to that conclusion.
Okay, that's what's funny. They're just finally now catching on. So he's obviously a genius. He could do just about anything, but what we're going to do, we're going to make him the basketball coach. And we're going to give him unlimited funds to recruit. We know it's illegal, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to give him unlimited funds to recruit the best basketball players on earth for his team. Unlimited funds. And so I start going and I'm watching people overseas playing ball. They're 6'9" in the ninth grade and they all got a full beard and you know, and I get them over here because, you know, we got their parents a job, you know. Anyway, I'm from a place that might have done that through the years, but anyway, but the point being is this. And so I bring them and then I bring in the best, because I don't know anything about basketball, you know, I'm just a conniver. And I bring in the best college coach and I bring him in and he trains them and does them and we go and we win state finals. And everybody say, well, that's something. What would be more interesting, what would be more like real life is that they say, Bruce, we know you're working yourself to death here, trying to, but, we're going to give you a free job. You're not going to pay anything for it. And we're going to put you over the basketball program. And I go down there, and there's five guys. The closest thing they've ever been to a basketball game, basketball, was hauling hay. And all of them are 5'3" and about 2 foot, or about 3 foot wide. Okay. And they call us the Ball Bearings. We changed the name from the Pirates to the Ball Bearings because we're all round. Okay, and then we go and we win the state championship. Now, would that be something?
Yes.
That would be something. And I want to tell you something. That's what God does. See, that's divine. And what he's done is he says, you know what? I'm going to take good picture of it's David, the outcasts of Israel, those who are in debt, those who are this, those who are that, those who are, there's a whole list of things I won't get to it. But I'm going to bring those in and we're going to make an army and we're going to be the mighty men of Israel. That's what God did with David. And I want to tell you, that's what his kingdom is like. It's misfits and mismanagers. And we, of course, we dress up real nice and act like we know everything. Some of us. I just do the acting part. But anyway, here's the bottom line, guys. God's in charge. He knows you in your heart. And he knows what's going on. And call on the name of the Lord. And you say, well, Bruce, I've done this wrong. Welcome to a very elite organization called the church. We're all sin and come short of the glory of God. Father, thank you so much for these people. Lord, I love your word because your word became flesh. And everything I look in here, Lord, points back to the flesh, the person, the reality of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, bring us to you. In our pain, in our suffering, in our rejection, in our brokenness, and Lord, let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn off these bonds that have held us so tight that we can be the men and women you call us to be in this life and the life to come. Thank you so much, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Ta-da.